Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, and welcome everyone to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance, beginning as far back as 40 AD and all the way up to the present day. That's right, the present day. And the International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, has documented as many as 2,660 apparition visits around the world, and not just France and Germany and Spain and Italy, like many people think, but Vietnam, Korea, Australia, India, China, Russia, in, you know, all over the place. So we on this show take it very seriously to bring you the best information and the correct information. I'd like to share a little story from watching a program on TV that spent a half hour talking about the greatest unsolved mysteries, and one of them was Marian apparitions. And some of you will groan out there because the one they focused on most was Bayside, New York, which has been condemned, and I don't even give any 2 cents to. So you could tell right away this was not going to be a good program. They mentioned Fatima in one sentence. That was not even anything about the miracle of the sun or nothing. They mentioned Lourdes in a couple sentences, nothing in Guadalupe, the famous, all the famous ones. And they said how the church was very much against them, and it was a very difficult process to get any of them approved. And they were so very negative. They mentioned no science whatsoever. Oh, I take that back. They did have an expert for the Knock Ireland apparition. Now, this is interesting because the Knock Ireland apparition were some 3D images of Mary, St. John the Evangelist, and St. Joseph, along with a lamb on an altar with two angels. And the images were so sharp and clear that they said that you could even read the writing in the Bible that St. John the Evangelist was holding. Now, here's what the expert said. There were some statues nearby in a outside of a building, and the sunlight had apparently gleamed off of the statues and sent a reflection onto this wall where people were seeing the apparition. Sounds interesting from this expert. So terribly wrong. First of all, it was nighttime. There was no sun out. Secondly, it was pouring rain. And, you know, so right off the bat, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But this is on TV, on a syndicated TV program. And it's just like, wow, Bayside, New York, Knock, Ireland is explained by an expert by the sun glinting off statues and sending a reflection. Like, that's going to fool people. And they said that the people wanted to see this because of the potato famine. No. Anybody could see this that came by. It was not people who wanted to. No one even knew it was going to happen. And it's just absolutely bizarre that they made all these assumptions about apparitions and assumptions galore. And that made me feel very proud of our show because we really bring you the actual facts, the details, the things that matter. And we don't make any assumptions. We're very careful to give you the best details in the best way. If there's something that we're not talking about, we will either say so or we won't even bring it up. We want you to have the best information. But to hear this national TV program explain what was going on with apparitions. Oh, yeah, they said the three little girls at Fatima. Okay, if you even have studied Fatima, you know there's a little boy and two girls, not three little girls. It just shows you how awful their research was. It's not even research. It was just a superficial glance at the whole subject and making many assumptions about it. And it's too bad because there's all that great science out there they could have gotten into, but no. So, again, it made me very proud of what our program tries to do and the information we put out around the world. But I thought you might enjoy hearing about how someone on the syndicated TV network programs has explained apparitions. So, again, on this show, we try to bring you the best information, and we don't tell you what to believe. We just present it, and you can believe whatever you want. Anyway, tonight we're going to go to one in the United States, the first approved apparition in the United States from Wisconsin, near Green Bay, Wisconsin. The year is 1859, and we'll get back to that in a minute. I will say it took them 151 years for official approval. It wasn't until 2010 that it got the official approval, 151 years later. But that's not too surprising. The average is about 53 years for approval, so a little beyond that, but we'll get the story. First, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. Wonder what you thought about what I talked about, Donald.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think it's sad, but I think that's a certain bias that some of the mainline media might have towards religion and religious issues. Now, here at Deeper Truth, I've got this question. It says, I asked this question, who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Now, this is coming from Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. And, Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'll put him on. Hold on.
Well, I just got a question
I'm here.
For you, Mike. Mike,
he's
do you
there.
Real, did you hear the statement I made?
No, not that well.
Oh, okay. Well, for anyone out there that's listening, Song of Solomon's chapter 6, verse 10, and I'll say it again, because I think it's just so important for us to understand that here at Deeper Truth, we have a bias for our faith, not against. And so sometimes it's, and so basically, Song of Solomon.
Well, I've got a question for you and possibly for John.
Okay.
These things take an average of 53 years to approve.
Right.
That is correct.
Which obviously goes beyond, and some of them are taking over 100 years. You can't get any more statements from the visionaries. They're all dead. Why does it take so long?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, the fastest one was 1 month of approval, and the longest one was
400 years. I think if I remember correctly, the committee saw it for themselves.
Yeah, they
right.
did.
That's why. Yeah, that's why in 1 month they had no problem approving it because all the committee members saw her. But that's the thing. It's different from country to country, and I think sometimes they don't want to be the ones to approve it, so they let it go on to another generation, and then that generation may not even look at it. Another generation might not remember it. And then someone later on digs it up and goes, hey, we ought to approve this one. And then they get around
yeah.
to doing it. So I think it's something more like that.
Yep. And Mike, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? That's Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. And who do you think that's referring to, Mike?
Say that scripture again.
Okay. Okay.
I got bad reception here.
Oh, well, now that I did not know. Okay, the
Song
of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is this that looks forth like the dawn? Fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. Were you able to catch it that time?
I think so. I think that refers to Jesus Christ.
Not this time.
Nope. Not a winner.
Not this time.
St. Michael.
Nope. This is related to the Virgin Mary.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Now,
John, I think I saw that show that you were talking about, and I'm sitting there screaming at my TV. Don, you're right. The mainstream media is owned by the whole cabal of it, which has pledged their loyalty and faith to Satan. The last thing they're going to do is use their medium to get the truth out, because then they would lose followers. So that's why you'll never hear the true story on mainstream media. You just won't do it. You know, they never.
Really.
And it always.
Well,
and if they do put the facts out, they'll put them out on with a biased tint. The words, the verbiage of it.
Right.
You know.
Well, I wasn't really surprised, but it just made me very proud of what we do, because we are truly the deeper truth and bring out the real facts and the real information for people to really consider. And, it made me realize what we're doing is so much more important.
One reason we're called deeper truth is because sometimes you have to dig a little deeper to find the truth.
That's for sure.
Now, outstanding there. The great, good, that was awesome, Mike. Now, Doc, this one's for you, Doc. Now, you tell me who you think this is referring to. Acts chapter 2:17 begins, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." And it referred to Our Lady just a while ago in Song of Songs in reference to this, to the sun and to the moon.
Yeah.
Here. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord." Wow. So who do you think this is referring to in
that's
these visions?
That's definitely talking about Mary and the apparitions and the Eucharistic miracles and the incorruptibles. And when was that written? Do y'all know? That was written a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was written for right now. Because this
That's
stuff
right.
is happening all around us right now. There's a spiritual war between demons and angels going on just out of our peripheral. And guess what? When you pray the rosary, "Lord have mercy, thy will be done," or whatever it is, you actually give strength to the swords of those angels that are protecting your behinds. So pray. Pray often. Pray all the time.
You should be constantly
talking to God.
Now, Doc, I like what you've pointed out there, because what I just shared with you from Acts chapter 2 was written by St. Luke. And what is he doing? He's quoting Amos, the prophet Amos of the Old Testament, almost verbatim. And
right.
So it is right now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the signs are unmistakable. I mean, I'm rereading the Old Testament, And I've noticed the correlation of how societies rise and fall. They get slack, and then they fall. And there's a pattern. And what I don't understand, because I've heard that before, but what I don't understand is that if we know there's a pattern, why don't we stop it? You know, I mean, the Israelites found favor with God because they realized they screwed up and they were worshiping idols and they fell under control of someone else. And then they went ahead and said, oh, God, we're sorry. And they threw away the idols and God freed them. And then they started worshiping the idols and it went round and round and round and round. And we're doing the same thing. Look at our society. Look at the way it looks around you. It's crazy. And we're allowing it just like we did before.
Yep.
You know? So.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, all good points. Well said. Very, very well said. And that's the thing about this show. We are going to say it like it is, and we're not going to have assumptions, and we're not going to have opinions or superficial assumptions. We're going to dig in deeper to that truth that will set us free. So, amen to that. All right, guys, we're going to Wisconsin tonight. The year is 1859, which is 1 year after Lourdes, which was our last show, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So this is 1 year later in Champaign, Wisconsin. And it was a family, the Bryce family, that had emigrated from Belgium to the United mm-hmm. States on July 23rd, 1855. So on August 7th, 1855, Lambert and Marie Bryce purchased 240 acres of land in the Red River, Wisconsin region, to establish their family farm. Daughter Adele would walk the 11 miles by herself to the nearest church every Sunday. And in early October of 1859, Adele Bryce, now age 28, was taking some wheat to a grist mill along a four-mile Indian pathway. Just as Adele came to a clearing between a maple tree and a hemlock tree, she saw someone standing between the two trees. As she approached, her heart was filled with fright, and she froze as she looked at the woman. The woman was all white with a yellow sash at her waist. Around her head was a crown of 12 stars. She was standing on a small cloud. She had yellow hair, blue eyes, and was surrounded by a bright light. Okay, folks, right there we've got classic apparition details. You know, she's got a white gown, a yellow sash, she's got a crown of 12 stars, she's standing on a small cloud, and she's surrounded by a bright light. And Adele doesn't know that that's what she's supposed to be telling us. That's what she's observing. And she watched the woman until the woman disappeared. Then she saw the little cloud disappear as well. But when she arrived at the mill, Miller could tell that she was very upset and frightened, also very nervous about the return trip home back through the woods. And nobody was between the trees this time. When she arrived home, she told her parents what had happened. Her father suggested that it might be a poor soul that needed prayers. So, quote, pray for her if you see her again, unquote. See, now this is a good example, by the way, of not someone wanting to see Mary or even knowing that it's Mary. They just are disturbed by this supernatural sight in the woods.
So what the father said, if I can interject, that was righteous what that father said.
Yeah, he had a good point. Maybe it's a poor lost soul. Pray for that soul. And, yeah, that was a great guess on his part. So the next day, October. Yeah. Good job. Yeah, they were much better back then. On October 9th, 1859. Next day, Adele, her sister Isabel, who's age 24, and their good friend, Mrs. Teresa van der Niesen, were walking the 11 miles together to the Sunday Mass at the nearest church in Bay Settlement. As the three women approached the spot where the two trees stood, Adele again saw the lady in white, and she was the only one that could see her. But she got excited and told her sister what she was seeing. Adele froze, staring at the woman, but the other two could see nothing. But they could see that Adele was indeed staring at something, and they could see fear in her eyes. Then the lady disappeared, and they all agreed to pray for that poor soul. Adele confessed to the priest what she had seen, and he spoke to her about the matter, suggesting that she ask the lady who she is and ask her what she wants. Adele felt comforted and believed by Father Verhoff. On the way home, the three women were joined by a man who was clearing the land for the Holy Cross Fathers. When they came to the place between the two trees, Adele stopped because she saw the lady again. She could clearly see that she was dressed in a white gown, which fell to her feet in graceful folds. There was a yellow sash around her waist. Long, wavy, golden hair fell loosely over her shoulders. On her head was not a cheese head, Donald. On her head. I knew you were going to say that was Wisconsin. Blonde hair. I thought, oh, it's a cheese head coming here. But no, on her head was a crown of 12 stars. Again, right out of Revelation. The bright light surrounding her made it difficult for Adele to look at her for very long. That's very common. So bright, they can hardly stare. Adele saw that the lady had a very sweet, gentle face. Surprisingly, she felt no fear this time. Instead, she was completely filled with joy and peace. Closer and fell to her knees before her, what most visionaries do. Adele said then, quote, "In God's name, who are you, and what do you desire of me?" Mary replied, "I am the Queen of Heaven, who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same." Now Mary spoke, and listen to this, she spoke in a soft, sweet voice. The sound was heavenly. We hear that all the time in the apparition stories, how sweet, musical, and soft her voice is. And then she said, "You were at Holy Communion this morning." To which Adele replied, "Yes, dear lady." Then the Virgin said, "You have done well, but I wish you to do more. Pray for 9 days. Go and make a general confession and offer your Holy Communion for the conversion of sinners. If they do not convert themselves and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them," unquote. Meanwhile, the others could tell that Adele was seeing someone and talking with her. They kept asking her, "Who is she? Who is she? What is she saying? Is she the poor soul from Belgium? Who is it?" Adele heard her friends and told them to kneel because she said she was the Queen of Heaven. Teresa complained about not being able to see her. Adele saw the Virgin Mary look kindly at Teresa and say, quote, "Blessed are they that believe and do not see." Yeah, right out of the Bible. Then back to Adele, Mary says, "What are you doing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son?" Crying, Adele said, "What more can I do, dear lady?" And the Virgin replied, "Teach the children." "But how can I teach them when I know so little myself?"
I have to say something.
Sure.
John,
yeah.
Now, yes, I think it's great that Our Lady identified who she is, the Queen of Heaven, but Adele actually identifies who she is also by referring to the crown of 12 stars, which we see in Revelations chapter 12, 1,
mm-hmm.
and a great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And if you
right.
recall what I had said earlier about who is this that appears like the dawn with the moon, you know, and the sun, and it's all right here, Revelation chapter 12, 1.
Yep. So Adele says, but I don't know what to teach them. And Mary says, I do not mean the science of the world. Teach them their catechism, how to sign themselves with the sign of the cross, and how to approach the sacraments, that they may know and love my son. Otherwise, the people here will lose their faith. Adele said then, with God's grace and the help of your intercession, I promise, dear lady, to be faithful to what you bid me. Then Mary closes by saying, go and fear nothing. I will help you.
Amen. And if you're out there listening to Deeper Truth tonight, the Virgin Mary is telling Deeper Truth tonight. She's saying, oh, Mary, Queen of Peace, restore harmony in our families and the world, and through your powerful intercession with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And so that's what Our Lady is calling here tonight on Deeper Truth on Journey with Mary with John Carpenter and Doc from Clarksville, Tennessee, and Michael from New Jersey, and all out there. So that, this is awesome, John.
I just want to interject real quick. Yeah, that Mary's final words to her, go and fear nothing. That, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's gangster. I don't care. That. I mean, seriously, the Queen of Heaven is telling you to go and fear nothing. That, man, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the way she... in the name of God, tell me who you are, and then you hear the reply, I'm the Queen of Heaven, I'd be like, oops, sorry. But, yeah, I mean, I try to put myself in their shoes as it's happening, or to be like the proverbial fly on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and try to visualize it when you tell the story, and I can... I mean, the reaction, you're walking down the street, doing about your business, doing your chores, you just want to, and there's this woman floating with a crown. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. That's not like a casual thing, you know.
Right.
I wish it was, but it's not. And that is a life-altering event.
Yes.
Just in itself.
Absolutely. Well,
you know,
you're going to see how life-altering it becomes, too. So, yeah, you're right. Go and fear nothing. But the other part that she said, which is real important, she says, I will help you. And she will. Yes. So with that said, the Blessed Mary raised her eyes and hands toward heaven and slowly rose upward. She was surrounded by a light, smoke-like incense. She looked like she was asking for a blessing for all of those kneeling before her. Adele, overwhelmed with emotion, collapsed to the ground in exhaustion. The man who was present brought a cloth soaked from a nearby stream to help revive her from unconsciousness. Then the four walked home, and Adele told everyone about her encounter. Because of her character, most people believed her words. Her father had always believed her because she had always been a truthful girl. To show his support for his daughter and his love for the Virgin Mary, he decided to honor the location of the apparitions with the building of a very small chapel, 10 feet by 12 feet on that very spot. Father Verhoff
wow.
gave it. Yeah, Father Verhoeff gave Adele a picture of Mary to hang there. Yes.
John, just to let you know that we got someone sending love from Michigan for tonight's show.
Nice. Nice. Love back to you. Yeah, maybe they've been there. I have.
Maybe.
And Donald, I think you've been there too, haven't you?
No, Greg has. I would like to. I plan to soon.
Yes. Yes, I've been to this, and they actually have a 10 by 12 foot little like chapel thing on the back part of the property, but the statue that is now on the apparition site is on the exact location of where she appeared, and I have knelt before it right there. Anyway, back to the story. Adele offered to work hard for the busy pioneer families if they would let her teach their children Chism and the Rosary in spare moments while on the job. She did that for 7 years, bringing each child that was ready to Father Damon's in Bay Settlement to test their knowledge before each one's first communion. In 1861, the community built a larger chapel, 24 by 24. Yes, it's bigger than 10 by 12, but not much, 24 by 24. They could hold 100 people. Boy, were they packed in. And often did hold 100 people. Mrs. Isabella Boyer donated the 5 acres that contained this holy site. That's very important, these 5 acres. And I have walked those 5 acres. All right, when doubters began to give Adele a hard time, miracle healings began occurring in the chapel when Adele asked for divine assistance. Blind visitors regained their sight. Deaf people regained their hearing. Desperately sick were healed. And cripples would walk again, leaving their canes and crutches behind as evidence. And it's there. I've seen those canes and crutches still there. Word spread across the Midwest of these divine healings near Robinsonville, later called Champion. Adele acquired a beautiful hand-carved statue of Mary from Belgium, and there was a glorious procession from the boat to its final resting spot in the chapel. However, sometime later, the statue was severely damaged when it caught fire from candles placed too close to it, but farmers and other settlers took up a collection to replace it with a new statue. So she's having quite an impact. In 1864, that'd be just 5 years after the apparition, Adele and the other religious women helped her become the Sisters of Good Health and were accepted by the Bishop of Green Bay. So in 1867, Adele opened a school next to the chapel and a boarding school, the St. Mary's Academy, in 1869, just 10 years after the apparition. But something dreadful is going to happen. On Sunday, October 8th, on the anniversary of the first apparition, remember it was October 8th and 9th? So on Sunday, October 8th, 1871, 12 years after the first apparition, a most deadly fire was created by a gale force wind that turned the prairies and forests of Wisconsin into a raging inferno. Fire tornadoes ripped through the area, causing death and destruction everywhere. Flames jumped rivers. Embers rained down. And small fires were whipped up into a giant fireball that destroyed homes, buildings, farms, factories, and entire towns. Sounds like California. It was described as a wall of flame a mile high, 5 miles wide, traveling 90 to 100 miles per hour, hotter than a crematorium, turning sand into glass. The heat was so strong that it killed people before the fire ever got to them. Approximately 2,500 people died, 12 towns totally destroyed, and 1.2 million acres devastated, the deadliest fire in American history. The ground was burned to a depth of 2 feet deep in some places. Think of that. The ground burned to a depth of 2 feet deep. Hiding in brick homes or underground basements did not help. Only those hiding in rivers had the only chance of survival. Now, Father Pernin of a local church made every effort to save the tabernacle from his church. But at the river, his cart dumped, and the tabernacle floated away as he watched helplessly. Many people lined the riverbanks, but the only ones who survived were those who jumped in the water with Father Pernin. 3 days later, among the blackened terrain and black ashes of everything destroyed, a pristine white tabernacle was discovered bright on a log in the river. Its contents were unharmed from water or heat, and the people saw it as a Eucharistic miracle and a sign of hope. Now that is awesome. Guys, that is so awesome. Pristine white tabernacle sitting on a log while everything around it was black ash and just destroyed. Is that not cool?
That is. And John, we had somebody that just popped in from Wisconsin.
Hey, Wisconsin.
From Madison, Miss Wisconsin. So
nice.
Welcome.
That's, yes. Well, they should
he
recognize
you. Walking into that terrain after that fire, going in to do the cleanup. What that
oh.
supposed to look like?
Well, there's a picture.
That's
and it's on my website.
Right it, there. Huh?
It looks like Hiroshima. If you see pictures, it's just leveled. Everything's leveled.
I mean, that's
awesome.
Scorched earth.
Yeah. Well, but the best part of the story is yet to come. Sister Adele decided it was impossible to flee the fire because it's coming right at them. So the sisters, the school children, and the frantic neighbors gathered in the chapel on those 5 holy acres and prayed for Mary's help. Then Adele led a procession around the perimeter of the chapel grounds, carrying a statue of Mary. The procession continued all night, praying the rosary all night, all around the grounds. Everyone then believed a miracle had occurred. The wind cooled, a heavy downpour drenched the fires, but this was long after, get a load of this, guys, the fires stopped right at the fence line surrounding the 5 acres. The fire went around the fence, around the 5 acres, and continued on. The outer side of the fence posts were charred black, while the inside of the fence were untouched and still white. Everything surrounding the 5 acres, including the lush green forest, farm buildings, and homes, were blackened, obliterated, and gone. Only the people and animals that had come to these holy grounds, these 5 acres, survived. The 5-acre grounds that had been dedicated to Mary were green and untouched. A glorious sight, they said. Exhausted from their fears and night-long processions of prayers, the people praised God and retired to sleep. 12 years later, on this exact day, Mary had warned of a potential punishment. By the way, that fire went on down around Lake Michigan and into Chicago, and that was the famous Chicago fire. So this fire started up in Wisconsin, went down right around Mary's 5 acres and on into Chicago to be the devastating Chicago fire that we hear about. So, yeah, this is all connected.
Chicago is probably the only thing that stopped that firestorm.
Maybe.
Hit those buildings.
Yeah.
The fire break. I mean, I've seen a firewall once before, not quite that extreme, but Yeah, they're pretty intimidating.
Oh yeah, I bet. I wouldn't want to see one.
Yeah.
Well,
getting in the water is the only thing to save you.
Yeah. Another miracle on the chapel grounds had to do with the chapel well. The weather had been extremely dry one summer, with the deepest of wells in the region barely containing any water, but the chapel well was only a few feet deep, and it was always providing plenty of water. All the neighbors, their surviving livestock, which had been brought to the grounds, and everyone else living on Mary's 5 acres, had plenty of water from this little shallow well. There was absolutely no explanation or logic for this little well that served so many for so long under these drought conditions. People started taking some of the well water home, as it was believed to have led to some healing miracles. Imagine that. Water causing healing miracles from the holy grounds of Mary's Acres. Many other miracles were documented. A 17-year-old boy developed pleurisy from double pneumonia. Despite his lungs becoming extremely weak, he said a novena at the chapel, and he was completely healed. Another boy, Michael Fonde, aged 9, fell from a barn and was crippled. 4 years later, a group of women prayed a novena with him at this chapel, and he walked out healed, leaving his crutches behind. A little girl with bleeding sores who had been treated by doctors for years was completely healed after she and her mom made the pilgrimage to this chapel. Another small girl had become blind from a severe case of measles. When her mother brought her to this chapel to pray, she was instantaneously healed. And a deaf boy brought by his mother to the chapel completely regained his hearing. So, and having been there, oh yes, oh yes. Now, I'll tell you a little story real quick. My Ruthie, my beloved partner, we were visiting there, and she has a difficult time walking. She has a nerve muscle disease. And she prayed in front of Mary's statue there and said, while we were going to be visiting family that week in Wisconsin, she prayed that she would be able to handle the rigors of the walking and everything and would have perhaps relief from her pain. As we left the chapel, she absolutely forgot her wheelchair, had to go back and get it. And when she climbed in the car, she says, I can't lift my leg like that usually, and I just did. She proceeded for the next week to have no pain. She could walk through the woods, climb up steps, do everything without any assistance. And when we got back home, everything went back to the way it had been. So the week that she prayed for to be relieved, she got that relief, praying in front of Mary. And asking for her intercession there. And, oh, yeah, I saw it. I witnessed it. It was dramatically amazing. But she asked for a week, and she got a week.
You do what you have. So,
yeah. And, you know, that's you can amazing. Still go there and ask for healings. I mean, you can still go there and listen to all these people that went there. And
yeah.
I've heard that there are still healings going on there. Of course, you're not going to hear it from the main media, but we...
No, you know.
Well,
we
finally,
got a couple of, we got some people from California chiming in now, so that's good. Welcome, everybody.
Great.
God bless you folks in California. You need
all the blessings you
can get.
Absolutely. When you visit this place now, the Shrine Our Lady of Good Health, and at the shrine, you can see the old school room. You can see the convent. You can go in the chapel. It's a beautiful chapel. And downstairs, they have the statue of Mary on the apparition site underneath the chapel. And you'll see all the crutches and canes and things that have been left there over the years behind glass. It's just remarkable. And in the back, on some of the acres behind, you can still see that fence. that goes all the way around it. I took pictures of it. And it's just amazing to think the fire just stopping and going around that, because it's just a little white picket fence, you know. But they have a walking rosary. They have other statues of Lourdes and Fatima. It's a beautiful, beautiful place now. And Champaign, Wisconsin, is just like a one-street town. I mean, it's just a little tiny spot there. But this shrine and these 5 acres are still very holy. So on December 8th, 2010, a historic event took place at the chapel there. Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay formally announced the approval of these apparitions. Quote, "I declare with moral certainty and in accord with the norms of the Catholic Church that the events, apparitions, and locutions given to Adele Bryce in October of 1859 do exhibit the substance of supernatural character, and I hereby approve these apparitions as worthy of belief, Christian faithful," unquote. And therefore, it became the first approved Marian apparition in the United States. Amen.
And John, amen. But yes. John, I just told some people, somebody who might be listening to this, it says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So, but that you know that they are from the Spirit. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. And so the church, the Lord gave us the Holy Catholic Church for these very things, so that the faithful would not be deceived. And I think that's so important.
Absolutely.
And that's what that, and that's what that bishop was doing, is in his role as a
yep.
teacher and a bishop.
Yeah.
Be more like that.
Yeah, sure do. Absolutely. Well, it's a really cool place to visit, and I would ask anyone to check it out. Go there. They have a website, Our Lady of Good Health, Champaign, Wisconsin. Check it out. You'll see pictures and things that are going on. And, but they keep it rather low-key, but they still – I think they have a procession that walks from Green Bay there and back, something they do. They might do it every year. But, yeah, it's a neat little place, and it's so close for a lot of us. It's not that far. If you just aim for Green Bay, it's like 15 minutes outside of Green Bay. So it's real close to Green Bay.
Amen. Well, that's good. Yeah, and we're getting people from Texas now, from Dallas. Welcome.
All right.
Welcome.
We are so grateful for all of you out there listening in, because all we're trying to do here is bring you the truth, bring you the facts, bring you the best information so that you can appreciate what heaven is doing through Mary, through Jesus, for us. And this
friends.
Was so remarkable to think of those 5 acres sparing everybody
yeah.
and all their homes in this intense fire, the worst fire in American history. That'd be like California, one little park or something where people were praying, the fire would just go around it and destroy everything else and leave the park perfectly untouched. It's just unheard of. Nature doesn't do that. But prayer is powerful, folks. And
yes, it is.
Blessed 5 acres was spared while Chicago burned. So,
and,
oh, my.
And we have.
That would make a great movie.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
We got, if you're watching, that make a good movie.
It would.
Yes.
It really would.
And we have seminarians from Africa listening in. So I think that is wonderful, and welcome.
I'm so blessed, you know, so lucky, because, you know, folks, about 11 years ago, I said, I want people to know this information. I started with an email newsletter every weekend, and then I met Donald, and in 2014, we went on the air 10 years ago this month, and we started doing these shows every Sunday. And, I had no idea that what I wished for the world to hear, the world is now hearing. And it makes me, again, very pleased with what our show can do and what the truth that it can bring about these amazing events that are so real. All you got to do is check it out. It's there. You can look up the stuff on the internet or research it yourself. You'll see everything I've been talking about. There's no need to exaggerate or embellish anything. The truth is remarkable enough, and the supernatural nature of these things is stunning. We don't have to embellish or exaggerate a single word. The truth is amazing enough. There, I've said it.
Yeah.
No. Oh. We lost Mike. I think the snowstorm got him up there in New Jersey. He was having trouble
that way. He was trying. He was having a hard time hearing, and so I read that three times, which was fine.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah, I'm sure the reception's kind of hard right now.
Right.
Well, next week, just as an advertisement here, next week we are going to Pontmain, France in 1871. The same year that we are leaving, we are going to go to France in that same year of 1871 and have a very remarkable event there, which we will talk about next week, where hundreds viewed something, but we won't talk about it now. But Pontmain, France, 1871. Donald's very familiar with that one, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of my favorite shows that we do. We also do Eucharistic miracles. And like Doc was talking about earlier, you know, about the scripture that I shared, and he was right on the money, because these Eucharistic miracles – and these Marian apparitions and miracles like the incorruptibles, you know, there's so many things that the Lord is working through His Holy Catholic Church. You don't see nowhere else.
The signs and wonders are beyond description, and yet people walk around and I constantly hear, "What miracles? What are you talking about?" You know, they have no concept, and that's because the media is controlled, and they're not going to let that out. So shows like this, kind of important, you know, consider us the resistance. we are the church militant, and this is the battle cry. So,
well, now you know why the last chapter in my last book was on miracles and all the people doubting and disbelieving and.
Yeah,
I loaded them up with a lot of facts about miracles, didn't I?
Yeah, that's great.
So
the battle that's good.
So we're running out of time here, but what were you going to say, Doc?
Well, just the battle that's going on that I spoke about in the beginning of the show, it's real, folks. It's just beyond our perception. I've talked about guardian angels. You think guardian angels are the only ones? They're Michael is the captain of the heavenly host. That's more than a platoon. You see what I'm saying? Every angel, there's demons. I mean, there's a battle going on. Ever since Lucifer fell, you think that a third of heaven just was booted out of heaven, you think that was the end of it? No, it's still going on. It rages still. This is our test. When we leave here, we're in that.
I, I am really, I mean, we've had Los Angeles, California, and Dallas, Texas, and now Miami, Florida, you know, in Africa.
And Michigan.
I mean, this is Michigan, yes, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And so, and
we are so
many people.
Grateful.
Getting out.
So grateful. Because it shows that people are interested. People are hungry. They're interested. They want to know the truth. And I swear, cross my heart, I will always bring you the truth and nothing less than that.
Pray.
So,
pray often. And pray hard. Pray like
fear
your
nothing.
Soul depends on it, because it does.
Fear nothing with
the
Lord.
Fear
yes.
nothing.
Absolutely.
Pray
yeah.
often and fear nothing. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that too.
Yeah,
the rosary.
I like that.
Pray the rosary.
Yeah.
Go to Mass.
Rosary.
Receive the Eucharist. Receive the Eucharist in the state of grace, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Receive and go to confession often. Go to confession often. Especially you ladies out there. My wife is always on to me about that because, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. So we are to, you know, just as we keep our bodies clean, we need to keep our souls clean too. So that's why it's important for us to go to confession. So make your parents
Amen.
Priests. Make them work. Make them work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're there for. When you
right.
when you make a good confession, you chain up the devil. That's important.
Yeah, he hates confession. All right, well, we're at the end of our time. I'd like to do our worldwide Hail Mary, and that's where I'm asking everyone around the world to join with me now in saying a Hail Mary, and this is dedicated toward world peace. Please, all the wars
Amen.
And chaos going on, please, for all the hostages and people suffering and starving and hurting, please, this Hail Mary goes out to all of that. And in doing so, our voices will be in unison around the world, all of us around the world at the same moment saying this Hail Mary, and the voices will rise to heaven, and heaven hopefully will smile as heaven knows that we're honoring our Blessed Mother. Join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We're so grateful for your support. We get nothing out of this. We don't make any money. We don't gain anything. We just know that we're bringing the truth to people. And to me, that's thanks enough. Just know that you're out there listening and appreciating what we're trying to do. And with that, I send it back to you, Donald, for the final two words or whatever.
Well, I will say this. I mean, because, and I've been putting this out on our daily radio show, because whatever the obstacle is, may be affecting us. Whatever obstacle is that's preventing you from going to Mass and preventing you from praying the rosary and preventing you from going to confession, whatever those obstacles are, Jesus said, come, follow me. Come to me, you who are weary, and you will find rest. So whatever those obstacles might be that's preventing you from getting closer to our Lord in the sacraments and in his holy church, whatever that is, then we here at Deeper Truth say, let it go, because it is not worth it. So let it go.
The wind is howling like this swirling storm.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.